Oh, I just moved the microphone. Is that okay? So, Joseph! I'm so excited to see you. Okay, so, I decided why not just read things that nobody has ever seen before or heard. So that's what I'm going to do. So you guys can, like, you know, come up later and suggest cuts and everything. Because seriously, there's only one poem here who that has been seen by other people, and it's actually been seen by some of my co-readers. That's it. Okay, so do you guys know who Sarah Teasdale is?
Yes, sure.
So she was, like, writing, what, like, in the 1920s? Or she won the Pulitzer. I discovered her when I was, like, sixth grade and, like, terribly romantic and suffering in the way that sixth graders do. But I think she's the one who turned me on to poetry. So I decided to write her a little poem. It's called Dear Sarah Teasdale. My dead mother bought me new underwear and a few hoodies in suburban colors, soft as Velux blankets. I wandered through a huge house to find where she napped, warm breath on worn pillow. She lifted the gifts from an old brown suitcase, and saying I loved them, though I didn't, and her, was easy, the natural state I'd imagined love to be as a girl surrounded by apple trees, abandoned to lawns, and your hard-bound words simply rhymed. The trees spit bug-filled fruit at the ground, and my mother and I picked with paring knives to find the good sweet, the good tart. Oh, aristocrat, your quiet music sheltered me. Then, grown, I spit your romance aside, bitter as orange rind. I'm sorry. I loved your love songs. I still don't own the book. I regret waking up.
Wow.
Nice. So you end up writing about things you really don't necessarily want to write about. Kills me every time. So I'm writing all these mother poems. And so here's one. It's called Mother's Day. And I just want to point out, Rick St. John's, this is your copy, Rick. You helped me with this poem, and I just didn't even print it out again. I just took his copy. Mother's Day. I'm sure the saved bird is now dead. Nest blown from the eaves, and me afraid to write it. See the feather naked, unflying wings. Birds I normally protect. Tie blue flapping bags to deck posts, scare away hungry cats. After the falling, I couldn't check. Listened to the mother's off-kilter calls, mother instinct, a call in my stomach that sat in my stomach as I pulled at cuticles dried hard as seeds. When the trees silenced, I asked my husband to turn over the tangle of nest. One baby alive, beak open wider than its head. Two others dead. Shouldn't a mother believe the best? I'd turned away and turned again as he twigged the loose-skinned body, placed its neediness back in. So I've been trying, ever since my mom died, I've been trying to figure out her life. Maybe I should have tried to figure out her life when she was alive. But that didn't happen, and I think it probably happens to a lot of people. So this poem came out of that. It was a kind of desire, the washing machine turning on. Its pulled out knob beautiful as a stranger's secret nipples, an offer of help. This is who you are, water rushing cold, a private Niagara. Is desire the same as longing? Above the machine's filling, the wife's breasts hide under sweaters. Her hands will not warm. Feet take steps meant for ice, but she is inside. Her life spare change she keeps from rattling, closed in her palm. Is longing the same as loneliness? Guttural clicks between cycles. The machine's water's empty. You don't have to. Fill again. Yes, you do. She'd prayed for a marriage to happiness. Gathered a marriage of safety, patience, and tried to understand they were the same. Is loneliness the child of desire? A rope ties shed to tree, tree to house, swings small in the wind and waits for the weight of wet clothes. Tether of shirt to line, a binding together, obligatory and always temporary. And I love you, sweet and common as soap. By the way, Kelly, thanks for the reminder of the plastic bonnets, rain bonnets, because I was just like, oh my God, and what a great detail. But that has nothing to do with this. Okay, so this poem, I was reading a book, and it was a lovely book, and I can't remember the name of it, by a young woman poet, and it was gritty and tough and whatever, And I enjoyed it in one way, and it just made me think a lot about my hatred of certain words, and how sometimes, I mean, we take words and we try to imbue them with something new. And this is about that, and maybe my failure to do that. So the title of this poem is Pussy Cunt. Those words are now gone from me. Impotent of their guile or beauty. Words some women have loved into muscle, worn as protection. Words I still hear through a man's gruff and swagger, grunt lust, and to be honest, never liked much, preferring to separate tough and love, even when anger felt like love. Once I chose a lover because of his anger. I wanted cold, wanted hurt, wanted shut up. But he couldn't make me come, his penis inconsequential as a forgiven lisp. He blamed me, said I didn't understand what I wanted. Oh, I knew what I wanted, to be only pussy, cunt. My body, two words, dick shoved, cunt filling my mouth as I walked the daylight, still sex wet. I lied to everyone, myself, and a one-night fuck became a year wet with his potent tears. When he showed me the gun under the bed, he aimed it not at me, pussy, but at his own head. Dumb cunt, this is love. I left a worn space for another woman waiting, willing to wrap lips around a swelling power, decide its name. This next poem is a little long. It's called Sex Tells Stories. The snow falls slowly in down feather clumps, tired of itself as I read about ducks with 14-inch penises and duck vaginas that corkscrew into secret side holes to keep sperm away from eggs. A counter-evolution sex battle where the female almost gets the final say. I learned about desire to hurt when I shoved a boy who'd made fun of my transistor singing a symphony. Emptied by his slam to my chest, I was a girl body on the ground, and he was on top of me. Amazing how bodies become pure body, have fists, can hit, have legs, can kick. I had a mouth and I couldn't speak. Hate is a muscle, a breath there's no need to think of needing. Sometimes the body's words are antennas, delicately feeling their way. Sometimes they're gushing hedonists, unashamed. When she was forced by her parents to marry her rapist, an Afghan girl hung herself. Abandoned by evolution, snapped by custom, her body a receptacle with no protection. Her words a rope's tangle, stiffening a tree. Sex is telling stories. One, R doesn't make love with her husband, their bodies two flattened brown slippers hiding complicated feet. Two, D tries fucking men she doesn't love. One makes her pull on long leather gloves. One sticks a used condom to her rough yellow wall. Three, J says sex is a spreadsheet, days and eggs, internal temperatures, legs hung on a wall to hold in sperm. Four, a woman I don't know says, me and my lover were good at fucking, says, I never came. Today's snowflakes look heavier than a girl's silent tongue. Their slow fall makes a mockery of gravity, of nature's force. Why is desire always primitive? Is there choice? A female duck isn't strong enough to fight the drake who will peck her to death and then fuck. But with the right mate, she clenches and loosens, invites him in. The women I love, sister, daughter, mother, friends, the bus driver who calls me honey, neighbor who crocheted me a scarf, our bodies opening from pleasure, our bodies opened by pain. This winter's street salt has dug potholes that expose 100-year-old bricks. Everyone's happy when the mayor declares a pothole blitz. I should have probably warned you it was a little sad. A little heavy. All righty, I think, I think I forgot one poem I was thinking about reading, so I think I'm just gonna try to end on an uppish note. So this is actually an older poem. I just never read it before out loud. It's called One Year After. Yesterday, strangely, hardly moving along the street, but moving nonetheless, drifting slowly against paper cup, index card, flyer for tax help. A pigeon's single wing lifted and swayed close to the feet I'd swung out of the car into this day of work. I told myself, each day is like a new life. What could I do but believe? It was the dead of spring, and the dead were greeting me in this one wing, not flying, but playing with wind's chances, saying, do something, because I can't. Could the bird be alive, misting through days, worrying about getting eaten? And does everyone dream of loving the man who's missing a leg? So love means desire for a part of his patience, a piece of his pain. Briefly, the single wing, failed boomerang, mother's hand waved against my winter boot. Good morning, I said. Thanks for listening. Great.